A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Sunday, 13 June 2021. We will be starting on a new transcript book. Today's book is Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, which was suggested by Sister Po Cheng. So this topic is very important, very interesting, and very, very profound. Hopefully, you can develop faith, very strong faith and understanding of Kayamitas to really go this way that we are going to base on. And this book comes about based on the direct transcript from the recording talks given by me on four different occasions. On the topic walking the Bodhisattva way and the taking of its vow as conducted by me. But the overall title should be Cultivating the Bodhisattva way. This book is a very unique book. It came about because of condition. Then the way the whole four transcript talk sharing turned out to be a very complete, beautiful transcript book for us to develop the understanding of the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. And this particular cultivation is seldom understood and also very, very seldom taught. It was mentioned in the sutta and all those things, but how to do it, very few people have the understanding. They only have the very general setup, the four basic vow and how it started and all this thing. But the whole understanding behind was not really understood. So most of this Bodhisattva way cultivation, they are not really available to the public. So for us, we were in fact very fortunate because there were causes and conditions for this to arise. So with all the appropriate causes and conditions, this four Dhamma sharing talk arises. Then when somebody volunteered to transcribe it, I was very surprised when I edited the transcript and looked at it. It can become a book. So that's how I recompile the whole thing and make it into a book. And this book is very beautiful, very unique, and very comprehensive. So make sure you read it, develop the faith and understanding, then cultivate it. Then also included is the yellow card, where I summarize all of the cultivation into just a four page sheet. So this four page sheet, we incorporated into one card, front and back. So I actually named it under the title Taking of the Bodhisattva Vows. It's meant for Brother Theo's Kayanamita for distribution to non-Muslim only. So you can actually get a copy of it from me if you want to. Otherwise, go to the website, then we can have it. We have the first page, the content page. After so I'll go through here the preface, the acknowledgement, then the introduction to the Bodhisattva way. That is the first sharing, the first transcript, Dhamma talk sharing. And there is a briefing behind because it is a new topic. Then introduction to the causes and condition for the arising of the sharing of the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. Then the third topic is Sutra of Infinite Meaning or Innumerous Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing, Chapter 1 on Virtue. It was from this chapter on virtue that the condition for the arising of the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way comes about. Because I remember at that time, that book came to me also in a very strange way. And I remember I was walking around with my wife in one of the local mall. That time was Tropicana. So while walking around, we suddenly saw this Ciji bookshop, Jingshi, Jingshi what? Jingshi Xuan. Then my wife suggests we go in and have a look. So we went in and had a look. Then I saw this book, very strange. Sutra of Innumerous Meaning or Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing, English version, standing out. Then I was thinking, what is this sutra? How come the title is so unique? So I went in, I took out, I flipped through. Then I saw this beautiful chapter 1 on virtue. The moment I read, I knew this is the teachings of great beings, bodhisattvas. These are virtue of great beings, Sammasambuddhas, great beings, bodhisattvas, and all the mahasattvas and all those things. These are virtue of enlightened beings. And it was so beautiful. So I decided to buy the book. Then I think not long after that, I decided to share with the Kayamita. I wrote an email. I was so surprised. The response was so good. Almost every Kayamita who read that responded and replied and said, this is beautiful. Then the causes and conditions arise. Then many other things happen. So that's how it come about. So this sutra of infinite meaning or Wu Liang Yi Jing, innumerable meaning, especially chapter 1 on virtue, is very, very beautiful. Then after that, we had the second sharing, which is walking the Bodhisattva way and the taking of his vow. So that one, I also have an introduction, breathing during the pre-class. Then we have puja chanting, invocation to the devas and deities. Then meditation, followed by cultivating or walking the Bodhisattva way. And after that, we had the third sharing. The third sharing was, I think, almost a few months later. So this one was on the 26th of April, 2016. So this one, we had the same format, introduction, puja chanting, invocation to the devas, briefing prior to taking the Bodhisattva vow. So here, we started taking the Bodhisattva vow. I guide them through. Then we have a sharing on cultivating the Bodhisattva way, followed by taking of the Bodhisattva vow. Then miscellaneous announcement, followed by sharing of merits. Then the final sharing is the fourth sharing, walking the Bodhisattva way, the continuation and the taking of his vow. So this one, again, we have a special puja, special offering and chanting. And again, we took the Bodhisattva vows again. Okay, now I will move on to the proper sharing. Then there's a bio data on me. Brother Teo graduated from University of Malaya in Civil Engineering in the year 1979. He has been a spiritual practitioner come meditator since 1971. Since his retirement in the year 2001 from his engineering career, he has been sharing his understanding and experiences with those who are keen in their search for true happiness, peace and liberation from birth and death, and all mental sufferings, to become a more virtuous, noble and wise human being. He gave Dhamma talks and whole meditation classes and retreat and weekly Dhamma classes at various meditation centers and places that invite him. For more detail of Brother Teo's Dhamma activity and his unique clear mentorship grouping, please log into his website at http://broteo.com or Google Brother Teo Kayamita, a repository of Dhamma material to view them. Then we go to the preface. This book is compiled from the combination of four transcripts arising from four different Dhamma talks delivered by Brother Teo on the topic walking of the Bodhisattva way and the taking of the vows over a period of about 2 years. The first talk was delivered on the 2nd of January 2015. So this was more than 6 years ago, followed by the second talk, 19th of April 2016, which is about 15 months apart. Then the third one is on the 26th of April 2016, which is 1 week later, where these two talks were scheduled to be connected because I couldn't finish what I want to share on the first sharing. So we had it 1 more week to finish it. And the fourth and last sharing is on the 28th of September, which was about 5 months later, also in the year 2016. It is Brother Teo's sincere wish that all Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth and cultivator will be able to make use of these enclosed Bodhisattva Way Dhamma transcript notes to develop a clear and better understanding of the cultivation of the Bodhisattva Way and the Buddha Dhamma is taught by the Buddha so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, nobler and wiser human being, to be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. All these notes were mostly compiled based on direct transcript from the recorded talks at that time. The texts are aligned as closely as possible to the colloquial speeches in those talks. However, some editorial amendments have been made to the text without distracting from the essence of the talk. It is his hope that readers can adjust themselves accordingly to better understand its true meaning and intent. A good way to do this is to listen to the recording before reading this transcript note. To listen to the recording or the audio file, you can log on to our website, and once you enter the website, there is a menu. Then under the menu, you go to repository of Dhamma material to view them, or alternatively, you can download the audio file via the below MP3 audio links which were created. If you have problem, you go to the website. So all the four are there. They are shared on the Tuesday class recording. Alternatively, you can Google Brother Teo Kayamita, the repository of Dhamma material, to view the soft copy. Acknowledgement. It is the donor's sincere intention that this Dhamma transcript notes be given free to those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends of Kayamita who have donated and or helped out in the transcript, typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister G. Guanying, Guanqi, Qi Guanying, and Sister Gladys Low, who had taken their great initiative to develop the transcript for my subsequent editing, thereby enabling this Dhamma book to be printed. By the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering and dangers. And may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for the existence of causes and conditions. For all Dhamma friends who have donated and are help out in one way or another to realize their good and noble wishes or aspirations soon as possible, with metta always. Then we go on to the sharing proper. Okay, so the first sharing, introduction to the Bodhisattva way. So this was also based on the direct transcript from the recorded Dhamma sharing by me, dated 2nd January 2015. I remember that year was the beginning. Then Sister Padmasuri was the one that requested for this sharing. You all should thank her. Because after I wrote out the email at the end of 2014, then all the conditions surfaced. Then she made the request and I consented. And this was the first sharing. It's actually initially meant for those Karimita who are serious, who are interested. So it was not open to all at that time. That's how it all started. Okay, now I will go into the topic proper. So A.1, briefing. So at that time, I told them we are still early. We still have another 5 to 6 minutes before 8 o'clock. So normally our Tuesday class start at 8. So for those who have brought the fruits for puja offering, you can prepare them for offering and get ready for puja at 8 p.m. Tonight we will have a very important discussion on the whole of the Bodhisattva way cultivation and practices. And I will also explain to you the basis and understanding behind all this so that you all can have the right understanding. A lot of people don't have the understanding because they think this is a very difficult cultivation or difficult way to develop as cultivation, and they dare not even think about it. But when you come to understand, you'll be very surprised. Actually, it's very easy, even though it may take a very long time. You must have strong faith, sincerity, and a lot of perseverance. So these three most vital virtues, very strong faith, sincere, and a lot of perseverance. Then you must have a lot of love and compassion. With this, everything will just happen. Even though we talk about eons and eons of cultivation, but in terms of time, this is very normal because a lot of Samasa Buddha took much longer, especially Amitabha Buddha. It took him 12 world cycles to perfect all virtues and wisdom needed to complete the cultivation. Even though it was done in such a way which seems quite impossible to many people, yet he could accomplish it. If he could complete it, there is no other Samasambuddha who could not complete it. Because his vows were extremely extensive and unusual, yet he was able to perfect them all until Pure Land can become a reality. That was a great breakthrough. That's why the Pure Land teaching is very popular and very unique. The main thing that people don't understand is the uniqueness of all these great beings' nature. Their nature are very unique, very beautiful. So if you know how to connect and develop affinity with all these great beings' nature, then it can help you in many ways, especially your cultivation. This is just a briefing for those who are early. afterwards, when we start, we will go through the whole thing again. Then you can participate and ask whatever question you have. Don't be shy, because this is a very rare condition. When there is condition, if you don't ask, then when this form and mind is no more, there is no more condition for you to ask. So while this form and mind is still around, please do make full use of it. Jin Hao, so Jin Hao came in, Jin Hao come. We are about to start the puja. So yours is the last one. You can make an offering. You can offer those garlands over the creeping images. Okay, now it's exactly 8 p.m. So we shall prepare for puja. Maybe we let Brother Suyan and Sister Mifong have the opportunity to light the candles and incense. Come the both of you. You all haven't done puja here before, right? Come, come. You light the candle? Well, Brother Suyan lights the incense. You light the red candle? Well, Brother Suyan lights the incense. These flowers from Sister Padmasuri and Brother Teo are very nice. We should rejoice with all those, all these offerings. And we can start the puja now. So I will skip the puja. So we started by chanting all this. Buddhang pujemi, Dhammang pujemi, Sangham pujemi. Then after that, the Namo Tassa salutation to the Buddha. Then take refuge. Then we renew our precept. Then after that, we chant the whole version. Padipa puja means the offering of light and all those things. Then after that, we turn to page 18 to make our aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering, which is very important. I will read to you so that you can understand. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall chant. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. So when we reflect on this, it's very beautiful. Lights overcome darkness. So this understanding is very important. So when we invoke power of understanding, then we will arise the causes and conditions for things to happen. So if we can illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all wrong view or darkness or ignorance therein, then we can develop wisdom to straighten our view, to awaken. The next one is significance of offering of pure clear water. May this offering of pure clear cool water lead us to the pure clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. So again, this understanding is very beautiful. This aspiration is very beautiful. And the third one is significance of offering of incense, so that you all know why the Buddha actually suggested the basic offering. We offer flowers, we offer light, we offer water, we offer incense. So we will chant, may our morality, virtue and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Then the significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dhanaparami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. And significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flower to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free nirvana. Now you all invoke the power of merits and make aspiration. So this one is very useful. By the power of all these merits, born of all these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become powers or balas. Then after that, we will continue to do the sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Then we all rejoice. After that, we continue. Okay. Thank you so much. For those who just came in, we have just completed a puja offering and the puja chanting. Now we will commence the invocation to the devas. So invocation to the devas is just the same as what we have chanted just now. So this one I will skip. Then we go to the actual sharing. A.2. Introduction to the causes and conditions for this sharing of the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. Just relax your body and mind, and we will start our sharing. Tonight's session will be very unique and special. As I have promised you all many months ago, even before the Amazon spiritual trip, to speak on this topic, walking the Bodhisattva way. I knew then there were causes and conditions for such a teachings to come to this world. And this particular condition was very unique because it actually came about when I was sharing the Buddha Dharma earlier on. Somehow this particular topic keep on arising. Then the funny thing is, all of a sudden, many Kayanamitas wrote to me to inquire about this topic on cultivating the Bodhisattva way. They asked me about this type of cultivation. A few of them even told me before this, they actually did not even dream of taking this Bodhisattva way. They were already very contented with the sainthood way understanding. But somehow things happened deep inside. They felt that there was something that they had to do. Then because of all this condition, when I saw the emails and inquiry, I replied to them all. Then later on, another strong condition arise. When I was at the Ciji Jingshi bookshop at Tropicana Mall, which I shared with you just now, I just picked up one book with the title Wu Liang Yi Jing, Sutra of Innumerable Meaning. I didn't really know what this Wu Liang Yi Jing was all about. I only knew it was a Pure Land teaching. So I flipped over the book and saw this sutta. Then when I read the sutta, I found it strange but familiar. It first talked about the cultivation of these great beings, the Bodhisattva, and how they cultivate the Bodhisattva way. Then there was another section that talked about the perfection of Pusyan Pusa. It was all in the sutta. Then when I read the one on the Bodhisattva way, which I wrote to you all later on, it was so beautiful because everything that was written there, I realized that I had already done them all before. So when the condition arose, I knew there were a lot of Kayamita who had the affinity born of their past cultivation. They also felt something, and their nature somehow knew this was something where they had to seriously develop the understanding. Then when I started to share some of the Bodhisattva way cultivation, I came to know that many cultivators and living beings, because of their lack of knowledge and understanding of this way of cultivation, they not even dream of walking this way because it appeared like impossible to them. They had this thought that told them, this is not for me, impossible. But this is a fallacy. This is what your thought will tell you. That's why when you understand this teaching and the great power's perfection in virtue of all these great beings, especially four Pusa, which are the great bodhisattvas and Sammasambuddha, you will come to know how unique and special they are. They only need to develop the very strong faith and sincerity and the diligence to cultivate the affinity with them and connect to their nature. Then their nature will take you along and help you walk this bodhisattva way. The only thing you need to do is to have the three qualities or virtue that I always talk about. That is the faith or sadha, the sincerity and the diligence to persevere. You must have very strong faith in the Triple Gem, and then you have to be very sincere. The third one is diligence or perseverance. When you have these three, then with some basic understanding and wisdom, you can connect to the way. You can develop the affinity with all these great beings. Then when the affinity and then the bodhisattva way become very clear and easy, that's why you need to cultivate affinity with the Triple Gem. That's the reason why the Buddha asked us to take refuge with the Triple Gem. Taking refuge is to cultivate strong affinity. But many Theravada practitioners fail to understand what taking refuge in the Triple Gem meant. The Triple Gem actually represents all of the Buddhas, all of truth, which is the teachings, and all of the enlightened disciples of all Buddhas. That's the reason why the Triple Gem is very unique and very beautiful. These three qualities are not difficult if you already have the understanding. So as you cultivate, as you move along the path of Dhamma, the condition will arise. And when you have affinity with all these great beings, and you have the determination to cultivate this Bodhi mind, the cultivation will become easy. Do you remember our Taiwan spiritual trip, where we visit Zhongtai Chansi? Do you know what was written on their leaflet? What was the main reason for that monastery to be built? It was told to us that every year millions of people will come and visit this place. Then what do they look forward to? Yes, the Bodhi mind or Bodhi thought. To plant the seed of Bodhi, to arise the Bodhi mind, Bodhi Singh, to go the Bodhisattva way. Cultivators and visitors to their place, their way place, only have to develop the faith and condition to arise that first thought or single thought of Bodhi to walk this way. Then the world will never be lacking in all the great beings. Because it all started with that single thought of Bodhi. It's just this single thought of Bodhi to realize enlightenment. Then one must have the faith, perseverance, and compassion to walk this way. I will connect all this understanding to the Bodhisattva precepts and these vows. The Bodhisattva precepts and the vows are very important. The initial precepts and the vow can already take you along. But later on, as you walk this way, you will know how to modify all these basic vows to suit. And you can also include all the special vows that your nature has. You will come to understand all this later on. That's why every Bodhisattva is different. Every Sammasambuddha is different. But the four basic vows of the Bodhisattvas are basically always the same. And they complement the three types of pure precepts which the Bodhisattva takes. I will explain them to you later. In fact, these pure precepts of the Bodhisattvas, they are also stated in your yellow card. Now I will read to you some of the email I received for you to develop the faith and the understanding. Then we will continue with the sharing. You have any question, you can ask. You are free to ask. Do make use of this condition to ask. While this formal mind is still around, whatever you want to know about this Bodhisattva way and the Buddha Dharma, you should ask. Otherwise, when conditions is, whatever you want to ask is already too late. It was the case with Venerable Ananda. When Sakyamuni mentioned that he would come to pass in 3 months' time, Ananda was crying in grief because he was only a Sotapan then. And he had so much emotion until he forgot to ask the Buddha all the important questions. Luckily, Venerable Anuruddha, the other disciple of the Buddha, advised Ananda to ask a few very important or key questions before the passing away of Sakyamuni Buddha. Hence, at the last minute, Venerable Ananda went to ask the Buddha those important questions. He asked the Buddha, "After you are gone, who shall we follow?" The Buddha replied, "Follow the Sutta and the Vinaya." This means all of the discourse he had taught and all of the precepts that he has laid out. So suttas are the discourse of the Buddha. Then Vinaya are the monk's rules, means the monk's precepts. The main core precept must be held onto. But he says, as for the minor precepts, one can do away with them depending on the condition and the situation. After that, I think Venerable Ananda was also told to ask a few other pertinent question, even though what he wanted most was the Buddha to stay back. But the Buddha said no point, because when the Buddha made the decision, he told Ananda, this physical body, the Nimanakaya of the Buddha, was already like a worn-out block up, waiting to collapse any time. So Sakyamuni Buddha's great compassion and love for the world and sentient beings has deprived him of enough rest. There was a reason why he passed away early, at the age of 80 only, whereas most of his disciples was able to live on until the age of 120. As per my advice earlier on, when there are conditions, do make full use of them. Okay, I will read to you one of the emails that I have compiled and sent out. I think there are two. I will read to you the first one. Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing, Chapter 1 on Virtue. You have to listen to this. When you go this way, when you take the Bodhisattva precept to start with the planting of the first seed of Bodhi mind or Bodhi thought, because finally, your whole cultivation will embody all this understanding. This is mentioned in the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Chapter 1 on Virtue. So the whole of cultivation stand or centered on virtue, nothing else. From virtue, the whole teaching comes about. That's why I always share with you all, without wisdom, there is no true virtue. So when you have developed wisdom, you naturally become virtuous. That's why virtue is the main embodiment of the whole cultivation. Without virtue, you cannot move. So the chapter 1 of the Sutra of Innumerous Meaning of Wu Liang Yi Jing spoke the topic virtue. That's why virtue is very important. And these are virtue of great beings, bodhisattvas, Sammasambuddha. And you listen, this is what is stated in the sutra. The sutras say, true bodhisattvas are wise beings with great compassion. So if you really want to go this way to become true bodhisattvas, you must develop and perfect all the wisdom, so that you can be wise being with great compassion. That is the opening statement. Then the sutra further describes. Their minds are tranquil, you listen. Ever abiding in meditation means ever mindful, constantly meditative. Peaceful, free of desire, and immune from any kind of delusion or wrong view or wrong thought. Theirs is a mind of translucent purity with vast profound vows. They hold on to these vows unwavering for countless eons. Having attained great wisdom, they penetrate all nature's law and come to understand all the innumerable teachings. They bring refreshing coolness and help cleanse away ignorance. With boundless compassion, they work to relieve suffering beings. Bodhisattvas are living beings, true friends, mentor and guide. They help and enable living beings to cultivate a great field of merits and blessing without being asked. They offer guidance to living beings. They are living beings' place of security and happiness. They uphold the Buddha's precept of purity and never break them even at the cost of their life. They never become angry even when harmed, cursed, or insulted. Their mind abides in Dhamma day and night. They abide in their vows of purity, a vow of purifying the world of all negativity and unwholesomeness of body, speech, and mind. Then after that, I received a few more of these kind of emails. One of them was from a very special Kayanamita. It was definitely a lady because all these were mainly written by ladies. The title she used was Arahanta and the Bodhisattva Path. She said, I've been resisting giving the issue about the Arahanta and Bodhisattva vows any serious thought since I'm still a Putijana, no wisdom as yet. I've intended to wait until I have some measure of wisdom, that is after attaining the path and friction before deciding on the specific path to take. However, there seems to be some unease each day for the time being. I only aspire to work towards Arahant shape. I had no courage or wisdom whatsoever to walk the Bodhisattva path. Then last Friday, on the 10th of October 2014, when I read your email about the Bodhisattva way, I don't know why, but I was so touched and moved to tears that my tears flow freely. I am similarly moved to tears each time I recite mindfully Pusien Pusat's 10 great vows in Mandarin. After your explanation, I knew they were tears of gratitude and joy. Then on Monday, I received a WhatsApp message reminder from a very patient Mahayana friend who has been asking to seal Bodhi Singh, means cultivate the Bodhi mind. It means to cultivate the Bodhi mind, to walk the Bodhisattva way. So these two reminders came back, meaning to aspire for the Bodhisattva way and to cultivate this Bodhisattva path. Somehow this time I didn't resist and I kneeled down humbly before the Buddha Rupang and expressed very sincerely my initial aspiration or vow to cultivate the Bodhisattva way and humbly requested Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, the great compassionate Bodhisattva, to help and guide me along the way. Then when I sat down to meditate, the Heart Sutta keep on arising, playing non-stop in my mind, even when I was sleeping. This lasted for a few days. I really need all the guidance and help to cultivate this Bodhisattva way. Hope I have the condition to cultivate the paramis needed to support me along the way. The second part is on delusion and dream state. When I contemplated on all the dreams that I had, I realized that when this egoic self was not the main character in the dream, I had complete awareness of the dream from when it was about to start right to the end, when the dream ends. I could even become a critic of the dream in the dream state itself. However, when the egoic self or mind was the main character in the dream, such detached awareness of its arising was lost, and I was completely sucked right into the dream and got myself entangled in the emotions and feelings. This delusion was extremely strong. An example was the dream I had yesterday morning. I was climbing up a very tall ladder. When I was about 3 steps below the peak or summit, I felt very dizzy and was about to fall off the ladder. When I looked down, I couldn't see the ground. Then I sensed the feeling of fear arising. Then suddenly a very strong voice said, "You are not dizzy, you are not falling." Instantly, all feeling of dizziness and fear of falling vanished without a trace. In the dream, I was totally amazed at the sudden and complete shift or change. After that, I was able to climb up and down the ladder without any dizziness or fear of falling down. Ratio, thank you so much for taking the time to read my ramblings. Your patience and compassion inspire and drive me on to cultivate sincerity with metta and respect always. So signed by the Kayamita. So this was the email. We should all rejoice with the wholesomeness. We are saying sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. There are many of you, maybe at this point in time, you may not know your past as yet because you have not really connected and developed the ability to recall your past cultivation. Not really in the sense of recalling past life. Recall here means after you have connected, then all the understanding will come back to you. It's not about reading past life because this spiritual nature is different from the karmic nature. I've explained this during our last Thursday class sharing. The transcript is going to be really ready soon. You should read the book, Who Are You? What Are You Again? How the two nature, the spiritual nature and the karmic nature interact, and how the form and mind come about. So who are you? What are you? It's all very clearly explained in the book, like what I had explained. The moment you are born, karma will come into play because according to Lord Buddha, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. And when the Buddha said you are born of your karma, he is not referring to your true nature or true mind. He's referring to your form and mind, the karmically conditioned form and mind of the human being, which are subject to karma. Then there is another nature, which is the spiritual nature. And this spiritual nature is unlike the karmic nature, just like what I explained to you earlier on in the talk. It's all in the transcript book. It's very easy to understand and also very clearly explained in the green book. Regarding this spiritual nature, not until you have connect with your true nature, you cannot inherit anything from it. When you know how to meditate and how to silence your mind and connect, then you can develop the connection. The moment the silent mind touches the nature, the form and mind will understand a lot of things. That form and mind will progress very fast. It will understand what sati is. It will also understand what that nature is, the awareness nature within. Then once you go through the cessation, you would have passed by the enlightenment stages of the sainthood way. But if you have cultivated this before, it will move across very fast, and you will reach back to your past cultivation pretty fast. That's how you inherit. That if you want to, you can understand many things via the silent mind. Once connected, you inherit your nature's past perfection and cultivation. You will understand the Dhamma very fast and very easily. You may also come to realize that earlier on, you may not understand many of these things. But all of a sudden, you can understand them now. And there is a lot of things that will come to you or come to your understanding. Things which you may not have learned them this life, yet you understand. You will also come to know how they actually arise and how they pass away and how this is possible. All these phenomena, I read again. You will also come to know how they actually arise and how they actually pass away and how all these are possible. Just like what happened to me since the year 1986. Everything just happened. The teacher came, the book came, the guide came. Then within 3 years after I connect, all of this past understanding came back to me. Then when I read the sutra or heard the truth, I could just understand them even though some of this understanding were not written in any book before. There was no doubt or fear, nothing at all. Because the Dhamma is Pachetang, can be realized by the wise each for themselves. And there is no doubt. And everything is very clear. Because of that, you will also come to understand all this when your time comes. That's why I always say, you will know who you are. Oh, sorry. You will never know who you are until you connect. Do you remember Brother Song? He is the only male Kayamita connected to Taspa at that time. He always talked to me, but he never write me any email. Initially, he also had this thought because the Mandima I could not understand. He always said he was very char in Mandarin, meaning very slow and weak in his cultivation. But the moment he connect, he moved so fast. How is this possible? Things that he never understood before after he connect, the moment he read my Dhamma notes, my transcript, the dependent origination of Patichasamupada teaching again, he straight away understand, despite the fact that before he connect, he had tried reading them 6 times, yet he could not understand. But all of a sudden, after he connect, he read the notes again and he could understand them. The reason being this teaching comes from the silent mind. So if you had not realized the silent mind awakening, you cannot understand. Then many things just happen. And he is now so clear about the great difference between thought-based meditation and awareness-based meditation. And he kept on having this joy of understanding for 2 or 3 months after he had connected. Then he kept on sharing with others and me, reporting things that a normal person could not understand. So these are the things that are possible, and your time will come. You only need to develop the faith, the 3 things that I have written on the whiteboard. That is Sada, or faith in the Buddha and his teaching, sincerity and diligence to persevere. Then just cultivate and don't try to know. Forget about what the thought are telling you. Like, this way, is it difficult, impossible, not for me, etc. No more such gullible thinking, then you will progress. We are also very blessed and lucky because when we went to Fakusan, the monastery of Master Shen Yin in Taiwan, I saw this book, The Bodhisattva Path, Direction to Buddhahood. When I flipped through the pages, I saw that it was very simple and very easy to understand. Well, this is written for people who are keen to walk the path. is very simple and very basic. And this is where and how you start. Afterwards, I will read it to you. I hope I had the time. It's almost an hour has gone. Okay, I better finish off this email first before it is too late. Now I will read to you my reply to her. I wrote to her and I said, Mahasadhu to you for your strong faith and good path. I really rejoice with your wholesomeness. The Bodhisattva way is not difficult when you understand. And there is a lot of joy too. Just like what the Heart Sutra say, true emptiness is wonderful existence. Based on what you had shared below, you definitely have good paths, condition and affinity to walk this way. So do not allow the thought to deter you. Cultivate great affinity, Kuan Yin and all the other great beings and Samasambuddha, and make the appropriate aspiration and vow to go this way. Then everything will just follow and fall into place. Be sincere, have faith, and persevere with strong resolve. Then all will be well, because their nature will help bless, protect, and guide you. Always remember, you have to ask for blessing, protection, and guidance. Do you know why you need these three? Blessing, protection, and guidance. You need to be blessed. It's easy to understand. Then why must you ask for their protection? Your true nature never dies, isn't it? So why do you need protection? It is to protect this form and mind of ours, which is very fragile. Like I always say, this form and mind is very fragile, very vulnerable, and very delicate. If the supporting conditions cease to be or disappear, then death can occur. This form and mind is just a vehicle and tool for us to come and develop the cultivation, etc. Every life you come as a human being, you may not have much time to cultivate, to develop understanding, because you have to go through the three phases of life. As a kid, you don't know anything as yet. Then you go to school, finish your study, and go out to work. Then with your worldly duties, you will have no time for your spiritual cultivation. So only those who have their vows and their past perfection or cultivation, their karma will take them along and they will know how to do this cultivation early. Then you have to connect. After connecting, only then can you continue with your cultivation. So every life you come, you actually do not have much time. A lot of people don't even have the condition to come into contact with the Buddha Dharma. So if you don't have their protection before you even connect, chances are the form and mind is already gone. Like this life, I myself can recall not less than three occasional incidents. This form and mind of mine was supposed to die before it even get connected. So it was because of this nature's affinity with the great being, especially Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's nature, that had protected this form and mind of mine from dispersing. And they don't have to be around because it can manifest via their vows and their understanding of nature's law that governs all of life and existence. And it will also know how to connect. Then life after life, because this nature of mind make these vows, this aspiration to seek their protection via the power of merits, wholesomeness, and understanding. Hence, this become possible. When you seek their blessing, protection, and guidance, their nature will continuously guide you, protect you, and bless you. That's why you are very well protected, like very lucky, very blessed, and properly guided. Then somehow everything will fall into place. That's why you must know how to develop and look for this affinity and connection. I will continue with my reply to the lady's email. I said, I will explain further when I met you in person. There are many others too who are interested in this way. Maybe we can gather them together and we can have a separate private session. on this topic, walking the Bodhisattva way by and with metta always. Okay, I will stop here. Then I will read on a bit more. So that was the main condition that leads to the first private sharing. That's why I earlier on explained to you it was not open to public at that time because it was a private session with those who are interested and have the faith. I also promise you all that it will be held after our Amazon special trip, which was in 2014. I was thinking this year end break was the best. Initially, a few Kayamitas told me that they could not make it. But I think the turnout for the session, which is today, is very good. Most of us can make it. And we should thank Sister Padmasri for suggesting the date. Should we all rejoice? Yeah. So this is the part. Okay. We will stop here. Then we can have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. So I have covered the causes and conditions for us to have this session, the first sharing on cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. Then I also explain what are the important understanding behind for us to go this way. Then you need to have the three virtues. Sincerity, faith, and perseverance to walk this way. Then the rest, they will fall into place. And affinity with great beings. Then you do your cultivation accordingly. Okay, I'll read on. Then after that, she replied to me. The title was Requesting for Guidance and Reporting. The lady Kayamita said, Dear Brother Teo, I was filled with joy reading your email reply. I am most thankful for your good karma to have, for my good karma to have you guiding me on this Bodhisattva way. It is a wonderful idea to have a private session with others who aspire on the same path. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And then she ends her email by signing off as with heartfelt gratitude and respect. And I replied to her by saying, Do listen to yesterday's 12 October 2014 Wuping Jingse recording and sharing. The links are there. Because there were conditions for some of the below understanding to be shared. Please do listen to the later part of the talk and the many mysterious things that happened on that day too. So on that day, I remember a lot of strange things happened. There were thunderstorms and all those things. It was just like the earlier on Klang talk on emptiness. There were some forces initially that tried to disrupt the talk, just like what happened at the earlier client talk. It was also because of the power failure at Wuping Jingse that started from 2:30 p.m. until about 3:30 p.m. by and with metta always. So on that day, it was as if we supposed to cancel the class because there was no power. Then at that place, the ventilation was not that good and our class was in the afternoon. So because of that, there was this, what they call, very, very loud lightning. Then it also caused the power outage to trip and all those things. Then somehow, we just accord and flow, persevere and never reacted and never do anything. But finally, after about an hour, I think everything fall into place and came back and became normal again. Then the sharing continued and the sharing was very good. on that day. Okay, I read on. The talk in Klang on emptiness is the same too. It was interrupted. Initially, we had to start late because the chanting ended late. Then after that, the microphone encountered problems. But all this, when we allow condition to accord and flow, and when we didn't react to the problem, everything just fall back into place. At Wu Pingqing Sir, it was the same. The power failure or outage actually started earlier. Then I remember Stephanie called me. She said, "Bratio, shall we cancel the class?" I asked her why. She said, "Power failure at Wu Pingqing Sir without power. It was dark, hot, and stuffy." Then she also said, "Nobody turned up yet except Sister Banyan." Then I said, "Never mind. We will continue the class because we have already promised people. So we will have the class on." From 2:30 to 3:30, there was still no power. So we started meditation first, although normally we would start with the sutta class first. Then as I was giving my instruction during the meditation, the power suddenly comes back and everything was back to normal. After that, we had a very good sharing. Somehow there were causes and conditions on that day. After the power resumed, and when I started the sharing after the meditation, the moment I wanted to share the Bodhisattva way and the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way, all of a sudden it rained, and the rain was very heavy. It was really pouring. The thunder was also very loud. It was pouring heavily outside. Then all of a sudden, there was a very loud burst of thunder. Then the power tripped again. That was because the higher beings were rejoicing. Again, the power was reconnected. I think by Mimi. Mimi was there with the husband. So they came to join us late. So many things just happened. Nature is such. There is nothing psychic about this type of thing. It's just nature's way. Because very likely, the higher being also wants to know more about the cultivation. So there were many conditions for all this to arise. This can also help many of you to develop the faith. So do listen to the sharing on that day attentively. Then in between also, the Tuesday and Thursday classes, there were many occasions when the condition arose and I shared. And after that, I wrote back to the lady, "The below is for your personal sharing only." I wrote to Moskaya Mita, who might be interested and have the condition. I said, "Do reply to me directly. Let me know if you are interested to join us for a private session to discuss the below topic, means cultivating the Bodhisattva way. I intend to hold this private session to discuss this topic after the Amazon spiritual trip. I will forward a rather good reply for another Kayamita for sharing by all later." The other email is this one, as mentioned in my earlier email. This is another email for your personal sharing. "Hope this can help strengthen your faith and resolve further by and with metta." And I will read on. Another Kayamita also wrote, "Sukiho to Brother Teo. I am very thankful for your compassion towards Kayamita in every way, especially your Dhamma sharing. And although you may be seen to be quiet, and although we may be seen to be quiet during Q&A, it may appear that we do not understand. But Bratio, I speak for myself each time I attended any of your classes. You seem to know what my doubts and questions are. And I leave the house or home with the joy and the following day filled with clarity. And as mentioned in your below sharing, the mind abides in Dhamma day and night. So this Kayamita do have that experience. The first thing when I woke up in the morning, Dhamma is there. Whenever my mind is free, Dhamma is always there. And even when I wake up at night to go to the toilet, the Dhamma or mantra or chanting comes to my mind first. It has become like a routine or a duty. Then I replied, "Dear sister, I rejoice with your wholesomeness and good understanding, sadhu, and do keep up with the good progress by and with metta always." Then there was another email, which is also very important. This one is also written by another sister. After I sent out this, I wrote to the Kayamita and I said, "Below is the Dropbox link sharing for all. It's a very good talk. Please do listen to it attentively to understand its deep meaning. This is the talk in Klang on emptiness. It was spoken on the 3rd of October 2014, about 3 months back." So this one, I remember, is a purple book. Eh? There's a transcript book on it. In her reply, she wrote, "Dear Brother Teo, sadhu, 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 and thank you so much for the rather inspiring talk. Your talk has taken me a step closer to understanding emptiness, even though I must say my understanding is still very thought-based. I am slowly learning to appreciate the idea of condition arising in all phenomena. I see it clearly in my plants as I enjoy gardening. The challenge is applying it to my daily life and the daily activities. I have to constantly remind myself and reflect on it, of course. I've always wanted to understand what anatta is and what emptiness is, though I often get confused. But I didn't give up. So far, I managed to listen to the recording of your talk twice and then to listen to it again. Please allow me to clarify. Would you say the Buddha and Pusa or Bodhisattvas are also subject to change? That is, they are also conditioned arising. Some say our Sakyamuni Buddha exists in the Buddha land. Please comment. I was also told an Arahant will cease to exist within a week due to the collapse of the fire aggregate. I would like to hear your views on this, please. Thank you in advance. May you be well and happy always." This email was written to me by a lady from Singapore. So what do you think? The first question, would you say the Buddha and Bodhisattva are subject to change, or they are conditioned arising entities? What do you think? She didn't understand the question, right? She didn't know what the Buddha and Bodhisattvas are. She only heard of the words and the names. So you can never fathom all this, not until you have cultivated the understanding. She does not really have much cultivation. Earlier on, she asked a lot of questions, and I told her, forget about the question, focus on the cultivation. So this is a very important understanding. Huh? Initially, of course, people tend to have a lot of questions, but if you ask a lot of questions without focus, and you forgot about the cultivation, then it's more like the curiosity of your mind. So this one, bear in mind, it will not help you. So the focus should be on developing the understanding and cultivation, which is more important. But all these questions are from the thought. I will read to you my reply, then maybe we can discuss it, because it can help you all too. I forgot to answer her last question. In my reply to her, I said, "Dear sister, the Buddha and Bodhisattvas are embodiment of their spiritual perfection of wisdom and virtue, which has become their spiritual nature. the five aggregates of form and mind that they take to come into existence as Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are not what they are. This is the most important understanding. Don't be gullible. Don't go and think that the form is the Buddha or Bodhisattva. That's the reason why Sakyamuni Buddha said, He who sees me didn't see the Buddha. Only he who sees the Dhamma sees the Buddha. A lot of these things people cannot understand. So I have to explain them. Then I said to her, the five aggregates of form and mind or the living being that they take to come into existence, to come as Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are not them, but only their karmically conditioned segmented form and life of theirs in that particular life. And they are impermanent because each of these is just a karmically conditioned form and mind entity, like a vehicle for them to come, or we call it a functional body, Nimanakaya. Only that physical form they take to arise is subject to change or is conditioned arising. But their spiritual nature is different, where it is just the nature born of their cultivation and perfection. It is not a being. The form and mind that comes and cultivate can connect back to their nature and inherit all the understanding of their spiritual nature. Only then can it transform the form and mind into a Buddha or a Bodhisattva. But their form are not their true nature. Their form is only a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for them to come, to arise, for them to use. So that vehicle or functional body is just karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for them to arise, for them to use to perform the function of a Buddha or a Bodhisattva while in this world. So hope this helped. So if you are clear about this, means you understand the Dhamma. You understand the meaning of form and mind. You understand the true meaning of the individual's karmic nature and spiritual nature. And they are different. Because one pertains to the conditioned world, the other one pertains to the unconditioned. So this first part, can you all understand? The true nature of all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas is the embodiment of their cultivation and perfection. That's why we call them the spiritual nature. And that one, nobody can take away. It is recorded in their spiritual nature. That's why that nature is very different and is very, very powerful. It has its virtue, perfection, and wisdom. That's why it's capable of very unique and powerful things because of their vows. They are really unique and incredible. Pass the microphone to Sister Chui for the recording. Otherwise, it cannot be recorded even though we can hear you, but it cannot be recorded. Thanks. So we call it was a recording. So Chui was asking something. So Sister Chui, sorry, Brother Theo, just to go back again. Their physical form are not the true nature and they are just karmically conditioned arising form. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? I can understand form is not their true nature, but karmically conditioned seems to me there is some kind of karmic inheritance somewhere that comes into being. And how do they use their karmic conditioning to walk the path? So it was a very good question. I think I understand your question. So my reply is, thank you, Sister Chui. You see, I have already explained in many parts of my talk and sharing, and that's the reason why you must pay attention now so that you understand. Can you remember the Thursday class sharing or talk? I drew a sketch of Sister Joyce with a skirt, remember? Just like this. Life. My nature comes with this form and mind, which you all call Brother Teo. But this form and mind, which you all call Brother Teo, is not me. Do you understand? This is the karmically conditioned. Is karmically conditioned out through my karmic nature. Without karma, there is no form and mind. You need a form and mind to come to this existential world. This form and mind is your vehicle and tool. A vehicle means a physical body like a car to take you around. It has the senses that allow you to give rise to sense or consciousness and allow your consciousness to stay within. The form and mind through the appropriate condition can arise because it's born of your karma. Heir to your karma. Conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So this is the fifth daily contemplation that the Buddha shared with us. This form and mind is subject to karma, hence not your true nature. You will not know how to meditate or how to silence your mind until you can connect to your true nature. The moment you connect, you can inherit all your cultivation, but not everybody has that cultivation and perfection. Many need to cultivate and perfect it just like the karmic nature. You need to slowly nurture it, step by step, perfect it. Then this karmic nature is very important. The great beings, bodhisattvas and great cultivators of the way, like the Sammasambuddhas, they have already known the teaching before they took the vows, the bodhisattva vows. They have already understood all this. That's the reason why they can become arahant anytime. But because of their love and compassion for the living being, they vow life after life to liberate sentient beings out of genuine love and compassion for them. They just do this work. And this is the first basic vow. One must uphold the three sets of pure precepts, bodhisattva precepts, and the four very important basic vow of a bodhisattva to walk this way. The first one is you vow to take across the innumerable sentient beings, to liberate them, to free them from all suffering. So this is the first basic vow of all bodhisattva out of love and compassion. Otherwise, you cannot come. So this first basic vow, born of love and compassion, is very important. This will create the pure mind for you to come back. Do you understand? Otherwise, if you already have that wisdom and you had realized arahantship or beyond, then this form and mind just cease. Do you know what will happen after that? You can realize nibbana leading to subsequent parinibbana. Then you don't die like normal being. There is no more rebirth consciousness. The arahanta or arahant just ceases to be. But because of your bodhisattva vow, you can still come back in another form and mind to liberate sentient being. That's the reason why that vow has the power to condition the form and mind to come out. And that form and mind that comes out is not born of ignorance or delusion, or not born of a rebirth consciousness. Because of your compassion and love, this is a pure mind. This pure mind come out and take rebirth via the vows. Then the vow will create a form and mind. That's why this pure mind with the love and compassion can become part of that karmic condition, form and mind. People need rebirth consciousness to come, the death consciousness, to delusion condition rebirth consciousness. But bodhisattva doesn't have rebirth consciousness. Only their pure mind, their vows, their perfection, and their love and compassion can enable rebirth. So this part is the missing link, the explanation that most people don't understand. That's why they don't know how all this can be done. So here, I have already Yeah, if you all the understanding, hopefully you all can make use of it. That's the reason why when I was very young, my mind was empty. Even until the age of 5, I can still recall. There was nothing inside there. The brain was completely quiet until I was transferred to the notorious town in Alostar at the age of 6 only. This so-called mundane mind started to interact and learn all the bad habits within my village and environment. You will know when the time comes, because that mind is so pure, so different. This karmically conditioned form of mind is a tool and a vehicle for you to come. But because of karma, you have this perfection and understanding of the teaching. Every life you come, you will finally know how to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. You must cultivate the vows and the three sets of pure precept. You must know the three sets of pure precept. To walk this path, you must start with these three sets of pure precept. The first one is you have to undertake the training rules to avoid all evil. The second one is to cultivate all virtue. And what is the third one? You will surely think it's the advice of the Buddha, that is to purify the mind. But no, the third pure precept is different. If you do that, you will become an arahant. You don't just purify your mind, because by then you would have known how to develop the enlightenment already. Instead, you have to take the third set of pure precept. We are understanding. Then you have to vow to undertake the training rules to penetrate all dhammas and liberate the limitless living beings from all suffering. So it's not just enlightenment, the sainthood way in the here and the now for that individual form and mind of ours, but it's an undertaking of this training rule to perfect all dhamma, to penetrate all dhamma, and liberate the limitless living beings from all suffering. So this is to complement the first basic vow of the bodhisattvas. You do this just like how you keep your precepts. I undertake the training rule to penetrate all dhamma and liberate all living beings or sentient beings from all suffering. That's the reason why this pure precept can bring about the special cultivation leading to the perfection of wisdom and the 10th perfection. Do you think it's easy to avoid all evil? Every time you come, before you connect, before the mundane mind collapses, the mundane mind still has delusion. So you will have to cultivate this constantly. By cultivating all virtue, you can actually perfect your 10th perfection. That's why you have to cultivate until your nature is very unique and very powerful. And this understanding will allow you to have the condition to walk this path. Then you can combine this understanding with the four basic vow and the three sets of pure precept to perfect your 10th perfection. This is a very important understanding. Is there a difference between a vow and a precept? This is another question. When one say, I undertake the training rule to liberate living beings, this is a precept. This means every life you come with your form and mind, you will renew your precept. We are undertaking this training rule. You continue to do it as long as you are willing to keep the precept. Vow is different. Vow means you vow to continue to do this work until you become Sama Sambuddha. So there is a difference. Although some may say it's only a slight difference. What are the four basic vow of a Bodhisattva? I've already told you the first one. Then after that, you have to develop the other three. I will share them with you later. But this first one is very important. Pass the mic to Sister Chui. Yeah, she has another question. Relative, I seem to have a little bit of misunderstanding, because I don't seem to see the Buddha as telling his disciples at that time to do all this. Most of them, from the little I know, went on and become arahant. It's purely a Mahayana approach to do this thing. Oh, sorry, it's a question. Right? Is it purely a Mahayana approach to do this thing? And I replied to Chui. Yeah? Okay, thank you for your question, Sister Chui. You see, this is a question that comes from knowledge, your thought, from what you have been taught, what you have read, your conditioned memories, views and opinion, etc. Do you understand? That's the reason why when you cultivate and develop further understanding, you will know how to filter all this. That this comes from the thought. The thought doesn't have the understanding. That's why you say, from the letter that I have read, which means the sutras of the Theravada teaching that tells you. But in the Theravada teaching, it was also mentioned that Sakyamuni became a Sammasambuddha after he had perfected the 10 perfection. But how he did it was never mentioned or taught to the disciples. That's why it was mentioned. Almost all the disciples developed their cultivation up to either the first stage of sainthood, second stage of sainthood, third stage of sainthood, or arahantship level only. Then you should ask yourself, if a Sammasambuddha's close disciple also cannot walk the path of the Bodhisattva, then who else can walk the Bodhisattva way? There were so many walking the Bodhisattva way at that time, but people don't talk about it because at that time, this Theravada teaching was more important and more relevant. Like what the Buddha said via his handful of leaf analogy, because it was to cater for the sasana at that time. You need this new breed of cultivator who understand the teaching to develop the initial sainthood enlightenment first. Then only can you have the condition to walk this way. This way is unique, not only to the Mahayana tradition. The Mahayana was able to come out with all this teaching well, because they have all the grippings. They have all these bodhisattvas and buddhas who have walked this way before. That's how all those teachings comes about, to complement what Sakyamuni Buddha has shared. Sakyamuni Buddha's job is to develop the 4,500 to 5,000 years of sasana first, so that it can produce this sainthood way beings. If you look at the Mahayana teaching, they talk about the Hawaiian Sanson and the Sifang Sanson. The Sifang Sanson consists of the three great beings of the Western paradise, which are Amitabha Buddha, Amitabha, Da Shi Zi Bodhisattva, and Guan Yin Bodhisattva. Whereas the Hawaiian Sanson has Sakyamuni Buddha as the Buddha in the center. He is supported by two more great beings. If I'm not wrong, it's supposed to be Guan Yin and Pusian, Bodhisattva, or Manjusri Bodhisattva and Pusian Pusa. But the funny thing is, Guan Yin's nature also came. That's why Amitabha Buddha, Guan Yin, and Maitreya, their nature are also very strong during this era. And all this had their condition of arising. So coming back to your question, try to understand that cultivation, that the cultivation come from investigation, understanding what this path is all about. You don't develop the faith and start to have doubt and create through the thought this type of question, it is not going to benefit or help you. It's going to make you less committed without you realizing it. When you have faith, it doesn't mean you believe. When you have faith, you will have an open mind. Then you will find out with a clean slate. You investigate, then you see whether it stands up to investigation or not. That's why these people who wrote to me, they have the faith. They just do the cultivation. And when they connect, they will come to know what these things are all about. Many of them have those understanding already. Then again, Chui asked another question, Pastor Mike, to Sister Chui. Very sorry about this, but I was thinking that the Arahant way is already on that way, except this one adds a different dimension to the Arahant way. But I only speak for myself. We can't even get there yet because that path is not easy. And you have to reach a certain level before you can actually take the training rules to liberate all beings. Then I asked Chui, so what is your question? My question is, you have to reach a certain stage before you get on to make this vow and practice these three types of pure precepts. Is that right? I just think that I am so far behind. Where do we go from here? Or is it a futile thing? We don't have the past cultivation. We cannot do it. Just get on doing the best you can. So that was Chui's question. Then I answer her. Now I will answer your question. Please do listen again carefully. Just now when I started, what did I say? A lot of people are like you, and they also said, I am so far behind. I have said before, you will never know who you are or what your past is until you determine to do it. When you connect, you may get a shock of your life. You won't know who you are until you try. You look at Brother Song and many others. That's why don't allow the thought to condition you to have such view. When the conditions have a reason and the heart wants to do, better go and do, because the heart will know, not the thought. Do you understand? All this, like what I have shared or said, when there is condition, you will know what to do. I will read to you another part. This one will give you a very important understanding, because this explains the great blessings of having the Bodhi mind to walk this path. Just give me a minute, okay? Please listen to this. Who has this book? Turn to page 32. It is said that by receiving the Bodhisattva precept, one generates a vast amount of merits. So this is the booklet, a small booklet, very small. I think 3x5 or 3x6 inches wide, a very thin booklet which we got from Fakusan. Yeah. That booklet talking about the Bodhisattva way, a very general explanation. It's very beautiful. So it was mentioned there, it is said that by receiving the Bodhisattva precept, just receiving, one generates a vast amount of merits. This can be understood as follows. When you take precept, means this Bodhisattva precept, a seed is planted in your consciousness. And because this seed has been planted for the benefits of sentient beings, the natural consequence of it is maturation as you nurture it by keeping the precept. It's a growth in your compassion and a weakening of your propensity to do harm or to be evil. With sustained cultivation, there naturally arises in you a tendency towards wholesomeness and perfection of virtue. As you increasingly go through life acting on the basis of compassion, you will come to experience a great sense of security and stability. Why is this possible? Because quite simply, you are no longer living life in an obsessive, self-centered, or a self-concerned way. You are no longer always worry about your own well-being and feeling constantly felt threatened and insecure because of your security or self-delusion. But when you take these precepts, three sets of pure precepts of the Bodhisattva, you vow to liberate all beings. That's how you become selfless. You can sacrifice and you can do everything to benefit others. and be a blessing to all. As your life is dedicated to others, you become less and less concerned with your own personal benefit, gain or loss. Consequently, you no longer live in fear, cease to be agitated or plagued by the section, which are all caused by self-attachment, self-delusion. You achieve stability of mind. This stability and security that you so experience then create an internal feel of security and stability around the people that are probable to other sentient beings, and they will feel safe around you because you are of genuine compassion. You never intend to harm them, never intend to take advantage of them, but only try to be of help. They also can feel a sense of joy while in your presence. Thus, in an immediate and very concrete way, you, after receiving the Bodhisattva precept, can benefit sentient beings, are benefiting sentient beings, a deed that generates a vast amount of merits or wholesomeness. And it is in this way that we undertake the practice of the three sets of pure precepts to deliver sentient being. So this is a very important understanding why you take this vow and why you take this three set of pure precepts to walk this way, to walk the Bodhisattva way. Then the benefits that come, even the taking of the precepts, the receiving of it itself can generate so much wholesomeness, virtue and understanding. Do you remember the third set of pure precept to deliver all sentient beings? The observance of this precept actualizes our good intention as put forth in the four great vows or basic vows of a Bodhisattva and set us decisively on the Bodhisattva way. Now I'll read to you the three sets of pure precept and the four great vows. Please do listen attentively. The three sets of pure precepts. The precept that has been discussed are common to both Theravada and Mahayana, on which emphasis is placed on the Bodhisattva's striving for the benefits of all sentient beings. The essential purpose of the transmission of the Bodhisattva precept is to arouse in people's mind the altruistic spirit of service to others and a firm dedication to the pursuit of enlightenment. Such spirit is called the Bodhi mind. Bodhi is a Sanskrit word derived from the same root as Buddha, and it can be translated as meaning awakening, enlightenment, or wisdom. The foundation of all Bodhi mind is embodiment of the four great vows of a Bodhisattva that we take. That is, we vow to deliver the innumerous sentient beings. We vow to cut off endless dissection. We vow to master the limitless Dhamma Dog, approaches to Dhamma. And we vow to attain Supreme Buddhahood through perfection of the 10 perfections. The first vow is to deliver the innumerable sentient beings. The second vow is to cut off the endless dissection. This means to endure and to actually persevere through all suffering, through whatever difficulties that you may encounter while undertaking the three pure precepts. You have to vow line after line to come back with the understanding to do this work. You have to endure them all. And that's the reason why in the Sabbasavak Sutta it's mentioned that there are things you have to endure. And the Bodhisattva endure even more. For you only endure the very simple things such as the bodily and all those minor suffering. But for this Bodhisattva way, you have to endure all the abuses, all the great difficulties that comes with all the very different type of civilization and beings you encounter. while fulfilling this vow, the four basic vow, whilst you manifest under different civilization with different type of condition, there are many things you need to endure and sacrifice, and you have to do life after life, aeons after aeons. So this second vow to cut off, endure and see through the endless vasection is very important. It is not easy, but it's also not difficult when you have the understanding. When you have the wisdom, patience, diligence, faith and sincerity, you will be able to do it. Then what is the third basic vow? It is to master the limitless approaches to Dhamma. This means you have to cultivate all understanding. That's why the Wuliang Yi Jing said, you have to penetrate all laws, all of the Dhamma, not only the handful of leaf, for enlightenment to become an Arahant. This third vow is to master the limitless approaches to Dhamma and liberate all beings. It means all of the penetrative Dhamma and interpenetrating Dhamma, you also need to cultivate them all. So it is more or less unending, because this is all, it's more or less unending because this is all on the understanding of the various truth. Then the last one is the vow on how to attain Sammasambuddhahood or Supreme Buddhahood, to perfect the 10 perfection. Of these four great vows, which is the first one? To deliver and liberate all sentient beings. Then to cut off all vasection, endure and persevere through whatever suffering and misery. Yeah. That's how we perfect our patience, endurance with wisdom. And you have to endure them all. Then you cultivate all understanding and vow to perfect the 10 perfection to become Sammasambuddha. These are the four great vows of the great Bodhisattva. So these four great vows of the Bodhisattva will carry you through in your cultivation. What you need to do is every day when you come with the form and every life when you come with the form and mind, cultivate the three sets of pure precepts continuously to avoid all evil, and then cultivate virtue until you can perfect them all. Avoiding all evil is to be done before you connect. After you have connected, you can then cultivate all virtue. Do you understand? Then your work towards liberating beings, living beings, become very easy. So it's not difficult. Every life when the form and mind come, you only need to cultivate these three sets of pure precept. Then these four basic vows of the great, the four great vows of the Bodhisattva are also very easy. You vow to liberate all beings. You vow to endure and see through all vasection. And then you vow to cultivate all Dhamma, the understanding, so that you can walk this way with clarity, understanding, love and compassion. Then the last one is you vow to actually become a Sammasambuddha, to perfect the 10 perfection. To help us actualize these four basic vows, we need to vow to observe further certain principles and guidelines that may help us to conduct ourselves in an ethical and humane manner and purify our mind of the three poison or the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. For this purpose, we transmit what are known as the three sets of pure precept, which contains the essential principle of all the different system of principle of Bodhisattva precepts codified over the course of Mahayana Buddhism's long history, rich history. Functionally, these three sets of pure precepts leads a practitioner to renounce all evil deeds by keeping the precept, means to avoid all evil, then followed by accumulation of merit by performing beneficial deeds and cultivating all virtue to realize its perfection. Then thirdly is to work for the salvation of all beings through perfection of all Dhammas. The vow To keep this precept embodiment, the spirit of all Mahayana Buddhist practices of cultivation, to stop all evil, to do good, and to deliver all sentient beings, is a very real, in a very real sense, this vow can be seen as the ultimate expression of the aspiration of all Buddhists in all era. So if this Bodhi mind cannot be planted deep into your consciousness, chances are, life after life when you come, you will be heedless. You will suffer. You will have no chance of liberating your mind. Now that you have the condition, please do determine sincerely and strongly with the faith and the diligence to plant this Bodhi mind, to take this Bodhisattva precepts, to walk the Bodhisattva way. Forget about whether you can do it or not, because that's what your thought is trying to tell you, to deceive you, not knowing that the blessing that comes with this determination is so powerful, and you have everything to benefit you to go your way. What have you got to lose to go this way? It's all about cultivation, perfection. Do you know how Sakyamuni became a Sammasambuddha? Just because of one major shipwreck, he realized he could only save his mother and not the many that has drowned. It was mentioned in the chronicles how he became a Sammasambuddha after that incident. It was during that time that he vowed and determined to liberate living beings, to save all sentient beings, that he realized that in that life he could only save his mother, even though he knew he could become an arahant. That's the reason why that resolve gave rise to the condition for him to plant that seed of Bodhi. And from there onward, he determined to fulfill his vow to become a Sammasambuddha. So you have to determine strongly to plant the seed of Bodhi too, especially so while you are still in the present sasana. That's the reason why I told you all, the window is there. If you miss this window, and when you come to realize what this is all about in future, you are going to regret deeply, for this is the best and only golden window. To come across such condition again, that is to have the blessing or bless that condition to be born as a human being during this sasana, and to have the condition to cultivate the Buddha Dharma with this type of understanding and clarity, yet you still don't make this vow and this determination, then you are going to regret it. This is very important. Am I not trying to encourage you or discourage you or to convince you? No. Where is your life? You decide. Do you understand? My duty is to share this understanding, because there are causes and conditions for me to do it, and affinity for this nature to do so. You may say everything is anatta, but the law of karma do recognize this relationship. Every life you come, if I am you, this nature will vow never to come with a form and mind that is deluded again, no matter why or how, because no point coming here to suffer and to be afflicted, isn't it? What for? If every life you are still heedless, doing all the heedless thing, creating and experience all the karmic negativity, playing, fooling and joking around, taking life so lightly, not knowing how to seize upon condition to move and to determine to make the vow, then what is the point of coming again? All these are very important understanding. So joke aside, your life, you better decide how you want to move and cultivate. This is for all of you. Don't underestimate your potential. You never know until you are connected. Maybe you have planted the Bodhi seed in the past, but because you never seriously But because you are never serious this life, that's why there is no condition for you to connect. But when you have the faith, sincerity, and perseverance, you will see the transformation, and you will come to understand that a very naive, sincere, and simple cultivator can connect and become some very great and special being within a very short time. So we have witnessed some, like poaching, all those things. Oh, okay, never mind, it's okay. Today, I think we don't have the sharing and reporting. This topic is very long. Yeah. Does that answer your question, Sister Chui? And do you have any more questions? Then she said, no, it's okay, because at this time, or this point of time, you will ask those type of questions. It is good because it can bring about condition for this nature of mind to share with you all what this nature understands. And the rest is up to you. Whether you agree or you don't agree has nothing to do with my nature or this nature of mine. You have to come because of karma. Then too bad. And you don't have the ability to choose how you want to come. Choose to come with such understanding. Then Chui mentioned something. But Bertil, we do our best within our ability to practice love and compassion. I say that is the thought telling you again. Then I think at that time, Sister Chui cannot understand. He said, no, it's not the thought. It's when you see, you do. Like when I went this time to Kashmir. They had a large or huge flood since March last year. They are without home. They are living in tents. The weather is minus 8 or 9 degrees Celsius at night. And when you see how these small children go through life, and you just quietly give whatever you can to support them, you never knew things were like that before. Then I answer her, are you trying to explain that what you did there is love and compassion? Sister Chui said, no, it's not a question of pity. It's for each individual, and the path is different. We walk it differently. We see things differently because of our own coming past. You don't mind me intervening. I can tell you very clearly, steal from your thought. Do you understand? Forget about the thought, otherwise it will hinder you. This type of thinking is a deviation. It's very dangerous, like what was stated in the Sabba Asava Sutta. Things that are unfit for attention, you go and give it attention. Do you realize by asking those questions, you are holding on to those wrong thoughts and views? You are creating more thoughts, more problems. That's what Sabba Asava Sutta is all about. When you attend to things that are unfit for attention, the unarisen asava, like doubt and fear, arise, and the arisen asava become more. Then through the back door, the thought will tell you, everyone is different. It sounds very logical, isn't it? But what did I advise you all this while? Don't try to know, just do. Put it to test, investigate and find out. You didn't even want to find out. From your views and opinion, you keep on expressing all these things. That is the reason why I say it's from your thought. Now do you understand? We are not here to argue over right and wrong, which is relative truth. That will not solve our problem. So please, sister, I hope you understand. This is what this nature understands and would like to share. And of course, you are entitled to your own views and opinion of things. You can hold on to your view the way you want to, for we respect you for what you are. This is still the ego or egoic mind. Just make use of whatever that is beneficial, then move on. End of the day, it is he no you, he no me, for it's only the form and mind. So don't waste the chance. Just like what I have mentioned earlier on, if you continue to do this every life and waste the chance to learn through this type of wrong thought and idea, you are going to miss out on this window. Do you understand? The key to learning is just to have faith, cultivate, investigate, and find out for your own self. Then make the choice and decision. Not what people tell you, not what your thought tell you. Investigate and find out. When you have faith, when you have determined sincerely, you will definitely connect. Give it a try and see what happens. If you don't want to even give it a try and keep on holding on to this wrong thought to say all these things, then you will never change. You will continue to be what you are. And that is the reason why I want you to slowly develop the understanding yourself. It's not about right and wrong anymore. And I do understand. Sorry. And I hope you do understand. Then Sister Chui replied, thank you, Radio. But I have listened to what you said. I asked this question to question myself. Nothing more than that. And I think from here on, there will be no more questions. Because I will then reflect and think for myself and not bring up any concern of mine because it doesn't help here. Okay, fair enough. Thank you, Sister Chui. We will continue. Just now, I haven't finished regarding the email. I was just explaining to the Singapore lady, this form of mind is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for the Buddha and the Bodhisattva to come to this conditioned world to perform their function as a living being. So that's the reason why the form and mind is subject to nature's law. It's condition arising, cause of phenomena, whereas the true nature is different. The Buddha nature or the eternal nature is completely different because that is the unconditioned. Then her second question is, some say Sakyamuni Buddha exists in Buddha land. Please comment. So this one is very clear. There is no Buddha land for Sakyamuni, where he is not Amitabha Buddha. Do you understand? She asks in the next email. I will skip that question. The third question is, she was told an Arahant was ceased to exist within a week due to the collapse of the five aggregates if he didn't renounce himself to become a monk. You all heard this before, isn't it? I think it's the Theravada tradition's teaching. It is said, if you become an Arahant or an Anagami and you didn't renounce to become a monk, you will die within a week. It's in the Theravada teaching. I heard many people tell me this. So I told them, if an Arahant is so fragile, then why do you want to become an Arahant? What do you mean by renounce? The Arahant has no more delusion and ignorance, right? You mean he must quickly ordain and put on a robe? There is no such thing, do you understand? The Arahant will understand because the Arahant is not a permanent, unchanging entity. It's the form and mind that realizes the wisdom, and that form and mind become an Arahant. But the Arahant will know that that one is not him. That's why Ajahn Chah's monastery at Wat Pak Pong. At Ajahn Chah's monastery at Wat Pak Pong, there's a sign that say, don't try to become an Arahant. The moment you try, there is Sakkaya Ditti or self-delusion because that one, the form and mind, is not you. Do you understand? An Arahant is already a being that has developed wisdom, hence can't be deluded by the form and mind anymore. For it has understood clearly the three universal characteristics of all phenomena. That's why that mind is not deluded anymore. It will not grasp or hold And upon that, it will cease and pass on to realize Nibbana. It will not condition to ignorance or delusion a rebirth consciousness because there is no more ignorance. So the question asked is from a person who don't understand. You can quote the text, but it doesn't mean it's the truth. I like the way Master Xuan Hua answered. Now, this one you must listen. This is very interesting. Someone once asked him about arahantship. The person asked whether it was true or not that the arahant is not reborn anymore. But according to Mahayana teaching, an arahant can still go the bodhisattva way. Master Xuan Hua then asked the person, are you an arahant? If you are not an arahant, forget about that question. You are wasting your time. So when you don't understand the question, you ask from the thought. It will be of no benefit. Hope you understand. Let us move on. Then the lady wrote back to me. The email is very interesting. She said, thank you very much, Brazil, for your kindly explaining it to me. It's very abstract for a thinking mind. So she can understand already because the first time she wrote to me, she asked all sorts of funny questions. At first, I refused to answer her and instead advised her as follows. I say it's better for her to focus on the cultivation. Please, I say, all these are from the thought. At first, she couldn't understand. She still wanted to ask. And the second email came. Then I replied in such a way that she started to understand. Then she said, okay, I will have faith in what you have shared with me. And I will develop the requisite 5 spiritual faculties to cultivate accordingly. Then hopefully, I will develop the understanding. I even told her, the moment you understand, all these questions will be self-answered. The question would cease to be. She was very happy that I answered her question that way. She saw a sign that she has started cultivating and developing the faith. What she wrote later was so different from what she had written a year ago. Okay, we better stop here. Huh? 6 o'clock already.
Okay. Hello, Amitabha, Brother Teo, and all Kayamitas. Yes, this is the topic that I requested. Thank you very much, Brother Teo. Today's sharing is actually very interesting from the explanation that between the question and Brother Teo answer, you know. Before we actually have understanding, all these thoughts will come. And it's not that I don't have these thoughts, you know, it's just that
it's from the mundane mind. It's not from an understanding. When the mundane mind has doubt, curious, has question, then it is not clear about the cultivation. It doesn't have the Dhamma yet. So that's the reason why a lot of people, they just like to ask questions, but they are not focused. Because they don't really want the answer. Sometimes the answer is like they think it's fun. Then they have this conditioning inside them. They don't know. So the question come from their wrong view, their conditioning, their mundane mind. And because they lack understanding, so the question they ask actually give rise to more problems. That's why in the Sabba Asava Sutta, that sutta on defilement is very good. It's like what constitutes wrong thought. So the Buddha's way of answering all this wrong thought or heedless thinking question is, he said, you only need to check. When you think of that question, or when you pay attention to that wrong thought, he said, what happened is, if it's a wrong thought, the defilement that is not there will arise, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then whatever wrong thought that condition, this defilement that is already there, they will become more and more. So it will not give rise to understanding and wholesomeness. So these are wrong thoughts. So there are things that are fit for attention, and there are things that is unfit for attention. He used the word. Attention means to give attention to it, then to come out with question and all those things. But when it is something that you give attention to, and if it's the Dhamma, then it will not create all this, what they call proliferation of evil roots. So the opposite will happen. He said, when you give attention to Dhamma, things that are fit for attention, like when you contemplate and reflect on the Dhamma, when you listen to Dhamma, these are fit for attention. Then you develop the understanding, you develop the joy, no selfishness, no delusion, nothing. Then he said, whatever wrong view, or the evil roots that is already there, they will cease to be, or they will become less and less attenuated. Then whatever defilement cannot arise, means what you are contemplating on or giving attention to, these are the appropriate Dhamma, appropriate scope of contemplation or understanding, means these are the things that are fit for attention. So the word fit for attention is very important. But without mindfulness, you cannot understand his advice. So the Sabba Asavak Sutta is how to overcome defilement. Asavaks are defilement. So all sorts of defilement. Some you have to endure, the Buddha say, through patience, through understanding, patient endurance. Some you have to avoid. Then some you have to develop wisdom to confront, to liberate. So all these are taught in the Sabba Asavak Sutta. It's in the orange book, I remember. I gave that talk in Klang. So if you have a chance to read the book, you should go and read the book. So what happened is a lot of non-cultivator or people who still haven't gone deep into the cultivation, haven't developed enough understanding, they tend to give attention to all those things that are unfit for attention. Then they ask those questions that give rise to doubt, to fear, to uncertainty and all those things without them realizing it, that this is exactly what the Buddha meant by things that are unfit for attention, you pay attention. No point. So that check is very important. It's like the four right effort. The first right effort to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action that have arisen. To do that, you need mindfulness. You need to understand what constitutes wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. Whatever that has the evil roots constitutes wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. But that definition is like, to me, no definition or explanation. Well, a lot of people may not be conversant with the Dhamma. So what is non-greed, non-hatred, non-delusion? That's why I like this sharing, which I always share. What are wrong thoughts? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your insecurity. This one is very easy to understand. So whatever thought that makes you not peaceful and unhappy or create doubt, fear, worry, anxiety, these are all wrong thoughts. So straight away, when you think a thought or when you try to do anything, it brings about karmic negativity. fear, worry, anxiety, emotion, and all those things, then you know these are wrong thoughts that has evil consequences. So in this way, it's easier for us to learn the Dhamma. So the first right effort involves mindfulness and understanding of what constitutes evil and what are wrong thoughts. So when you know what constitutes evil and what are wrong thoughts, you combine them, then you are mindful, you will know. Whatever thought that arises, if it has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, it brings about fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, insecurity, and all these things, selfishness, emotional negativity, then you know these are wrong thoughts. Then how to abandon the five ways. That's why you need to cultivate all this. Then we have to question the thought, like what the Buddha said. The Kalama Sutta is that when you receive an advice, how must you check? If I follow the advice, does it harm me? Does it harm others? If it doesn't harm you and doesn't harm others, then no harm. You can try it out because it doesn't lead to negativity or karma, or it doesn't arise any evil. But whatever you do, following the advice, if you harm yourself and harm others, please avoid. So that thought which you think and give attention to, and you ask, is it beneficial? Or does it bring about negativity? Or division, create fear, create unnecessary doubt, doesn't bring about faith. That's why in cultivation, when you have faith, when you are sincere, you persevere. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just silent. Observe to develop the understanding. That's why you investigate and you develop the understanding. But you don't go and allow this wrong thought to surface and condition you and create all those frivolous, heedless questioning that doesn't bring about benefit, brings about division, resistance, insecurity, and all those things, or more and more doubt. So cultivation, you need to develop clear understanding. That's why I say meditation is to be done with understanding. If there is lack of understanding, then you cannot cultivate the four right effort, especially the first two right effort. Whatever that arises without mindfulness, without the understanding of what constitutes evil or wrong thought, you cannot cultivate. Then the second right effort to prevent the arising of the right thought or wrong thought, wrong speech and wrong action, need wisdom. Without the initial wisdom, you can't stop it. It will continue to arise. You cannot prevent it from arising. Then the third right effort is the most beautiful. Right effort to cultivate all the virtue, the goodness, the wholesomeness that are still not in you. At that one, you really, really need to have understanding, mindfulness. Then you need to reflect, contemplate, and inquire. Then the last right effort is very easy. Yes, right effort to perfect whatever right thought that you have developed, or right speech and right action, refine upon it and perfect it. So that one is relatively easy. But the third right effort is not easy. You really need to reflect and contemplate what constitutes right thought, right speech, right action. Then when you are able to really understand and have a good grasp of them, then only you can arise them, like right speech, right action, and all those things. So it leads to what and what. Just like what I share with you all, it's from my contemplation. What are right speech? Speech that are gentle, pleasant, leads to harmony, understanding, no negativity. Then nothing to do with the four type of wrong speech. The four type of wrong speech are very negative. So getting angry, harsh speech is the wrong speech. Then when you talk bad things about people, backbiting is also wrong speech. Then when you tell lie with an evil, selfish intention, it's also wrong speech. Then when you simply say things, frivolous speech, taking it as a joke and all this thing, heedlessly rattling all this thing out, it's also wrong speech. So all these are understanding. Okay, Pocheng, you continue.
Brother Theo, yes. Actually, what you said is summarize all the cultivation, you know. And yeah, so much about the cultivation. Actually, like for people with the, I mean, beginners, so they don't have the mindfulness, they don't have the wisdom, right? Yeah. So it's very easy to be deviated from the path. Okay, so for me, I speak for myself, my cultivation. Initially, what I do is follow all the advice that you gave me. Then when I have wrong thought, when I have wrong thought, I will question myself like, is it a past or present or future? If it doesn't come a present, I'll forget about it. Then you also emphasize during the Cameron retreat, the three evil roots. Is it under the greed category, under the hatred category, or under the delusion category? These are also throw away, unfit for attention, you know?
No
so you have to filter one by one, you know, like that. You must go through it in your thinking, you know. These are the fit for attention, fit for thinking, to help you to walk on the right path. Not go and simply do things, you know, then your speech and your thinking and your action will be more in the right path.
You can
filter out a lot
of
negativity, you know,
correct,
that you may do because you haven't developed the wisdom, you know, the so-called Yonso Manasika. That is the beginning of the cultivation after, you know, understanding from the Cameron retreat about the category, you know, the greed, hatred.
That one helped.
Remember?
That one helped. We wrote on the whiteboard, I remember.
Yes.
So a lot of people contributed.
Yes, that one, everybody contribute and say, then that really helped because I always look at it and always, try to understand what constitute all these evil roots, for a few years already, you know. So this one, it really helps. So it will pop up, you know. It doesn't need any more thinking. It will pop up and tell you, throw away this, throw away that, throw away this.
And
so
it's very easy to cultivate when you are conversant with it, when you understand it. Well, whatever that has a selfish motive behind is all concerning personal interest, the egoic mind is there. The selfishness is greed, the evil. So that one is not a pure thought. That one is the right thought. So to be free from selfishness is to be free from the ego. Means you act out of wisdom. You don't act out of self-interest. You don't act out of memory, conditioning, views, and opinion. That's why I say the one from the egoic mind, the thought, is all out of views, opinion, and conditioning. That one is all selfish thought. The question also same. That's why whatever that arises from the thought before you become enlightened, that thought is always wrong thought. How can it be right thought before the Yoniso Manasikara is there, before the Dhamma understanding is there? That's why I say don't try to use thought before you have the cultivation. When you have the cultivation, it's different. Then you will act according to Dhamma understanding. Wisdom is based on Dhamma understanding, right view, right understanding. So you only act through understanding. That's why that day I sent out the sharing in Mandarin. Now that one is very good. I received from my sister. He said, there are four things that the Buddha say you cannot do. First thing is karma. You cannot change karma. So that one is beautiful. Then the second thing is, he said, wisdom cannot be given. technically cannot be really taught and give it to somebody. If it can be done, the Buddha will be very compassionate to really give you. And so that one, you have to realize it. That truth cannot be spoken, which is also very true, because whatever you speak is never the truth. It's just the words, the concept, the whatever. Yeah. That's why the suttas are meant for enlightened beings, although those are true. But whenever you speak it, it becomes words, it becomes concept, it becomes duality. The truth is, the reality is, no words, nothing. Then the last one is the best. If you want to help people, there must be affinity and condition. Otherwise, you can't. So all this understanding is very important. That's why when you have the Dhamma understanding, you will not be foolish at is trying to change your karma. There is no such thing. Karma cannot be changed. You cannot interfere. But you can avoid the condition for its arising. That's how you will understand. Then you can invoke power of merit for causes and condition to do certain things. And all these are possible. But whatever that has already gone into karmic conditioning, you cannot reverse, because karma is nature's law. You reap what you sow, do good begets good, do evil begets evil. Everything is condition arising cause. So all this understanding is very beautiful. That's why what you went through was very good. Eh? Because you listen, then you pay attention, then you learn, then you put it into cultivation. That's why you can progress. So the Cameron Highland Retreat, the Heart Sutta book, and all the advice and instruction that I gave, you follow it very closely. That's why you can progress, and you finally get to realize what that true mind is, the silent mind is. When the shift of consciousness comes, when you transform, then you understand what I say. Then all of a sudden, like, everything becomes clear to you. So this is what cultivation is all about. So initially, have faith, determine, then investigate. Then, like the Buddha say, if it's the Dhamma, it will stand up to investigation. So this is beautiful, isn't it? Sadhu.
Yes, sadhu. It's very beautiful when you investigate, do it, and it stand up to investigation. It's really, really amazing, you know. Yeah. So when you stand up to investigation, you know, you know, when you realize it, it's really transforming.
Yes.
So
very good.
So but initially you really must have strong faith and determination, you know. Yes, without faith,
faith and persevere. Just don't try to know.
Correct.
Before you understand, you're wasting time. You just do. Then investigate, find out. Then if you suddenly understand, there is so much joy, because the Dhamma can be investigated upon, it stands up to investigation, and truth can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. So all these become very beautiful, very meaningful. Then the thought process slow down. That's how avijja slow down. When you straighten your view, you got less avijja. So avijja paccaya sankara weaken, that link weaken. So sankara less, you think less, more and more wholesomeness. Then later on, when you have the Dhamma, the understanding, you only arise and use thought when you need it. Then thought become right thought, a tool for you to use. You're no longer heedless. So the user of thought is very important. If the user don't have wisdom, thought cannot be wise. Thought cannot be right thought, wholesome thought. So develop the cultivation first. Then when the understanding comes, you know how to apply thought. The use of thought becomes beautiful. Noble Eightfold Path is about right view leading to right thought, right speech. So you need to have wisdom first, right understanding to straighten your view. So just do, cultivate. Don't try to know. Silence your mind, observe, then awaken. Contemplate, reflect, understand, then put into cultivation. So all these are beautiful understanding. That's why you have gone through. Easy for you to understand. But now, Chui also understand, right? All over the years, she changed a lot. She has developed good understanding. So this beautiful testimony. Oh, there's somebody who want to ask something. Who is it? Oh, Elsie. Elsie, you can come in. You want to say something, Elsie?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you accidentally on the mic, yeah? There my water saw your mic on. It's okay. Sadio, right? No problem. So, Po Cheng, thank you so much for your input and condition for this sharing. So it's getting late now, I think. Do you have anything else? Otherwise, we can end.
Radio, thank you very much for today's sharing and to share this book, because this book has a lot of beautiful gems, you know.
Yes.
So because Cameron retreat, we didn't get to go through every pages, so
correct,
it's so
correct.
Worthwhile to go through every pages, because even today's lesson there's so many understanding, you know, that
develop
out of it.
In real time.
I can't share these things, but actually whatever is already shared by Brother Teo, so it's very good sharing. The emphasis is there, so it kind of helped me to have a deeper understanding as well, you know. You go through every pages and explaining the details of it, so I really appreciate, you know, like the the one suddenly like give me another awakening.
This is what
I need to understand as well, you know,
which I missed.
Thank you very much. You know, these are the little things in between lines and pages that I realized that I missed out in the past as well, you know.
Things
so
that
thank
are
you very
fit
much
for attention and things that are unfit for attention. The orange book, Sabha Sutta, is very good.
Yes, that one. Yeah. Okay. I will read that book. The so-called orange book that you mentioned. Thank you very much. Sadhu. Yes.
So let us rejoice and we end. Thank you.